Make possible the path for those who come to elevate the thus communicated in regard to the higher aspects of life, that they can give you an insight into their own condition. For their own condition is not by any means unpleasant. They live in a condition of life which is to them very happy, has many amenities and improvements, and there is much which they find to enjoy. But that in itself is not necessarily elevating, is not necessarily a highly developed state of being. These souls, mostly those who are your relations, mostly those who are linked with you by ties of love and affection, live in this state of happiness, which in certain senses is not very far removed from Earth. If one could imagine Earth without all the disabilities, all the things that cause friction, all the things which cause irritation, one could realize a natural, normal, happy surrounding in nature, and living there in true nature, realizing those great beauties in many forms. One has some vague idea of what their existence is, which in comparison to yours, of course, is a very wonderful state of being. And then one must remember that in God's kingdom, which is so vast and beyond description in certain respects, nevertheless there are these greater and more wonderful phases of being, these greater planes of experience, which highly evolved souls, endeavoring as they do to come down through the spheres back to Earth to convey something of their knowledge and experience. They realize the difficulties, and they realize that to a certain extent it depends upon those like unto yourselves who gather together for communion, that they themselves must by their inner desires to contact the highest, that they themselves will make possible the path. This cannot only be done by thought, of course, it must be done in a sense by action. For he who thinks well and acts not so can hardly be considered one who has progressed, can hardly be considered one who has made himself receptive to the highest thought. For to think is not sufficient, for one must live these things. Otherwise one cannot be in that state. In our hands, we will come to you. Come because we realize more and more how necessary it is for the people of Earth to realize this truth, how in time they may learn through us to bring down the barriers and separate them one from another. There are far too many barriers in your world that man has built up through ignorance. Invariably man thinks in a selfish way. He very seldom thinks of others, but lives unto himself. Chaos, war, and all the disrupting things that enter into man's world and life are brought about by man himself. Often we hear people railing against God, saying that if God exists, why does he permit this? Even those who are most ardent in their particular faith and way of life oftentimes have been heard to say, why does God permit this? Because God has given man free will to choose for himself, he's also given man an inner realization and awareness, which if he uses in the right sense, can bring about a great happiness and a great peace in the individual life. But we must remember that we must be practical. We cannot live to ourselves. The only solution to man's problems is the fact that he must consider himself part of the universe, part of the God who gives him life, and that therefore he must forget self in service and in forgetting self he will find that he himself will grow and mature spiritually. There is too much selfishness in the world. There are too many religious bodies and creeds and dogmas, too many frills, too many things which keep men from simple truths. We who come to you hope eventually that we shall only be able to break down the barriers that man has created in ignorance and blindness and foolishness. Our world represents, in a sense, your world. In some senses, one could almost say that the lower spheres, particularly, are a reflection of your world. And as your world is, so you find over here, on the lower astral plane, a replica of your existence. Only those who have been here eons of time, who have progressed over many periods, many conditions of life, they are the only ones who can really uplift you in the true sense. There may be many who come to you, many near your earth, and invariably, of course, those that do contact you are obviously near the earth. Though they are good souls, they are limited in what they can do and what they can say. That is why it is vital and important that you should strive at all times to lift yourselves into the heights. When you set aside your hour of communion, you should shut the door of your world completely. You should open up your hearts and your minds to the highest possible level. You should first approach in prayer to God, the giver of all life and all things, that you might be ennobled, that you might be enlightened, that you might be, as it were, brought higher into the realm of things that are good, taken out of the earthly body, brought into the spiritual consciousness. These things are essential. I have been taken many, many, many times to what you term seances and meetings. And although, in certain respects, there is much to admire, nevertheless, there are so few, so very, very few, who are making any real spiritual progress, who are making any contribution to your world of a spiritual nature. In very they are, as it were, contacting like unto themselves. And they live, as it were, and act in a little world of their own. Often selfish, often of a lower strata, which can be of no value to them or to those around them about them. If one needs to grow in a mental and spiritual sense, one must not be content by contacting the fringe of the spirit world. And I regret to say that the majority of mediums and the majority of spiritualists only contact the fringe, only contact those who are in many respects like unto themselves. I don't have to tell you that there are those who on the lower spheres will deceive you. For as you have people in your world who speak untruths and clothe themselves in other garments to deceive, so you do on the lower planes contact souls who will act accordingly and who will deceive. These, I know, are disturbing thoughts, but they are truths that must be faced. It has been said, test the spirits and see if they be of God. And I would say to all those who sit in seances and meetings, wherever they may be, to test the spirits and see if they be of God. And by testing, I mean testing them in a spiritual sense, of course. Testing them in the sense that they shall give to you the proofs that they are spiritual in the true sense. And sometimes I think the term spiritualism is rather an God must always be first. the creator of all things, the creator of each one of us. And with him all things are possible, and the rest shall follow after. We who come to him are his ministering ones, to do his work and his bidding. And if we are to do that work, we must have those types of mind who are prepared to give up all, even as Jesus did, to follow in the path of righteousness and truth, to cast outside oneself all the things that are evil, all the things that are of the earth, earthy, and remember always that it is the things of the Spirit that matter, for these things are indestructible, incorruptible. These are the things that are life eternal. And it is these things that we ever strive for and toward. Man must realize that in spiritualism, if it is to be truly spiritualism, he must be prepared to sacrifice. Often more, perhaps, than he is inclined or desiring to give. We have a great and glorious responsibility. And if we are to do our work, if we are to become spiritualists and not spiritists, we have got to change. In other words, we have got to realize that we are God's children. We have found a truth, and that truth has made us free. But at the same time, it must ennoble us, it must uplift us far beyond orthodox conditions and religions of the earth. We are not chained or fettered to any creed or dogma. We are free. We are part of God's great creative plan, and we must realize it more and more and acknowledge it and live it and put it into action. Then indeed can those who call themselves spiritualists be termed spiritualists in truth. We have great responsibilities. Those who are spiritualists must be prepared to give up much, much more than they do. Not be content just to go from meeting to meeting. To be sitting, as it were, on the very fringe of life. For that is, as it seems to me, that we are content to sit on the very edge and be satisfied with it and not delve any further. It is nice to go. One must remember, no matter how much one may love, how much one may be loved in return, and important though love is, for it is the very key that unlocks all doors, that I know. Nevertheless, it is not sufficient to talk only to one's own. One must remember that there are limitations, because they themselves have not sufficiently learned and experienced over here. They can help you, and what is also important too, you can help them. So many people do not realize that. They're inclined to think that because the person has passed from your world and returned to them, that they can tell them everything. Not, of course, that some in your world do not use their dear ones under the pretext of love, do not use them in the sense that they are in a position to advise them concerning all sorts of material problems. Numberless times that I've listened to so-called peoples in your world who loved intensely some soul over here, I've heard them worry them and harass them with their mundane material problems. And yet they say they love. I say to you, my friends, that when you come, or any individual from your world comes to communicate with us, in the true sense, with a keen desire for spiritual awareness and consciousness, with a desire to approach God more and realize Him, the highest.